Good morning, Bridgeway. I am so glad that you are here today, logged in at your home or in your car or your kitchen, on your smartphone, wherever you are. It is so good to see you and to be seen by you today. And for those of you who are in the house here at Bridgeway Community Church, give yourselves a hand because you made it through the rain. I'm actually so proud of you for making it through the rain here in Maryland. Shout out to those who are watching in Michigan, Chicago, South Africa, Zimbabwe. It's just great to be in the house of the Lord. And today we are putting forth our vision message for the year. We give vision three times per year, beginning with September, which is our vision kickoff. And I will give you the new theme for the year. We'll have our new bracelets and all of that. So that happens today. And then in January, kind of halfway through the ministry year, we do our State of the Church address. And then at the end of the ministry year in June, sort of following an academic year, we do our end of the year wrap up. And these messages and these themes that we give every year are really there to help guide us and inspire us and motivate us and unite us as the body of Christ, building on the years prior. Last year's theme was mature and mighty in Christ from Ephesians 4. And the year before that, focus, followers of Christ united in the Spirit, also coming from Ephesians 4. So let's continue to build on growing as fully devoted followers of Christ, who are moving forward in unity and in love to reach our community, our culture, and our world for Jesus Christ. Let's bow for a short word of prayer. Father, we are just reminded that our God reigns. We are so thankful that you have given us vision to walk with you and talk with you and to be ambassadors of reconciliation around the world. And I pray that today's vision message and the theme that we have for the year not only motivates us, but also encourages us along the way. For it is in the name of Jesus we pray. Together, everyone said, amen and amen. Well, 21 years ago on this day, September 11th, our country was attacked by men from other countries who would fly planes into the Twin Towers right in New York City. Another one that was aiming for D.C. ended up on the ground, nosedive in Pennsylvania, as some passengers were able to wrestle down the pilots, and unfortunately, they all died. And I can remember where I was when that happened. Can you remember where you were? I was in the offices of Bridgeway Community Church. It was around 9:30 or something that morning. We had offices in Town Center of Columbia, Maryland. But over 3,000 people were killed that day. And it was shocking, stunning, dark, and disorienting. And we grieve the deaths even now of those victims, and our deepest sympathies go out to those who have survived such a horrible day in our country. We honor and we remember those who have lost their loved ones. May God rest their souls and continue to heal ours. But not only was there terrorism around the world 21 years ago, we're still experiencing shocking, stunning, dark, and disorienting deaths. Not because planes are flying into buildings, but because explosive bullets are flying through the air that rain down on Americans throughout our country. This time, it's not from terrorists outside the country, but from terrorists right within our own country. Domestic terrorism is killing Americans at an alarming rate. And crowds of innocent people are being shot while in malls, at music festivals, grocery stores, elementary schools with children who are in school for learning, holiday parades, food courts, and the proliferation of guns being weapons of choice to rain down terror is not a political statement. It's a reality that we are living through and many are unfortunately dying through. Having qualified as a sharpshooter in the United States Army and being trained as an M60 gunner on the back of a convoy, I can tell you that these weapons of war do not need to be in the hands of civilians on the streets of our cities and our suburbs. But that's not all. We have a current climate of incivility all around us, a cultural climate of hate against people who are different, against Asian people, and anti-Semitism is on the rise, and the rise of extremism is all around us. And there is an alarming uptick in the rate of addictions and to opioids and alcoholism and mind-altering drugs. Then upon that, what about climate change? I mean, a third of Pakistan is underwater right now, a third, because of monsoon rains in Pakistan. And I'm talking about the weather. It's heating up all around us, is it not? I mean, right now, Northern and Southern California are fighting 30,000 acres of fires right now today. And Jackson, Mississippi is battling water contamination after severe flooding. Some of you are thinking, man, I'm so glad I came to church today. I know, it's supposed to be the good news, right? And remember, the first saying of a gracist in our book, Gracism, is, I will lift you up. Yet there's so much trying to pull us down. And honestly, if we don't turn to church, and if we don't turn to the Lord, we have no hope. Someone once said that the church is the hope of the world. And I actually believe that it's the Lord Jesus Christ who's the hope of the world. And our prayer is, Lord, save us. But it is us, the church, that God is calling to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ in a hurting and a lost world. But what are we to do as believers in the Lord Jesus when climate around us is seemingly changing for the worse? What are we to do when the cultural climate is heating up? What are we to do when the political climate is heating up? What are we to do when the ecological climate is heating up? And what are we to do when the attitudinal or even altitudinal climate is heating up? You can get on a plane now and people feel emboldened to say mean and threatening things. People are edgy. People are angry. People are seemingly so different since we've come out the pandemic. What's going on? So what are we to do when someone's forceful and rude and emboldened to be offensive? I say, punch them in the face. Buy more guns. Take it to the streets and shout loud and proud for our rights, screaming obscenities at those on the opposite side of the debate. Is this the Christ follower's way? Is this the way of Jesus? Is this the way of ambassadors of reconciliation, as though Christ were making his appeal through us, as 2 Corinthians 5:20 says? I think not. Of course not. In fact, I think that Jesus would be embarrassed by many who bear his name today. Jesus Christ didn't save us and then leave us in this world so we could make it worse. He called us to be in this world so we would make it better. And hence, our theme for this year is that: make it better. Can you say, make it better? At home, can you say, make it better? You see, even though things may be getting worse, we are called to #MIB, make it better. We may not be able to change the whole world completely, but we can make it better. We've got to make it better. So that's our thing, MIB, make it better. And guess what? Today, we have it on our wrists. You can get yours on the way out if you're here in the house. We've got free bands for you and your family. Take them, wear them. Why? It's a reminder. That's all. It's a reminder that when I seem to want to make things worse, oops, yep, I'm called to make it better. And they'll be out in the lobby on your way out. If you come to church today, you can grab yours. If you're far away or you can't come, guess what? Just go on our website and fill something out. We'll mail it out to you. And if you live within an hour or so of one of our campuses, if you want us to visit you at home to give you one, we'll drop one off for you. What do you think about that? So, you know what? Go ahead and go on our website, bridgeway.cc, and ask for it. You never know. I may even show up at one of your homes myself. But if I come, I'm going to have on these Make It Better MIB Men in Black glasses. So go ahead and fill that out. You'll never know. Some of y'all are like, hold up. Let me go ahead and go on the website right now. Maybe he'll just send that Boaz in those glasses as well, but it ain't that kind of delivery. What we want to do is, as we think throughout the year in our ministry, we not only want to make it better, but the reality is I think there may be something that will happen throughout this year that we've not even seen yet. And God's going to call us immediately to activate on this theme. Don't know what it is. I don't know what it is in our world. I don't know what it is in our church. I don't know what it is in your family or our life. But may this theme be activated in such a way that God would impress upon you, for Christ's sake, don't make it worse. Make it better. And you can ask yourself the question, it's a good one, isn't it? Am I making the world better or am I making it worse? Am I making this church better? This family better? This marriage better? This school better? This company better? This relationship better or worse? Sometimes we can make things worse without even realizing it, can't we? I mean, I want to encourage you to make it better, but sometimes it's our negativity that makes it worse. Sometimes it's nastiness that makes it worse. Sometimes it's neglect, not addressing and ignoring important issues that make it worse. But I want to encourage you to make it better. And I want to encourage you to be a make it better person. In fact, next week, I'm going to start a 6-week series called Living a Make It Better Life. And we're going to talk about 8 attitudes to make you better, 9 fruits to make you better, and 10 commandments to make you better. 2 weeks on each one. We already did 1 through 7, the numbers this summer, but now we're going to do 8 attitudes to make you better for 2 weeks, 9 fruits to make you better for 2 weeks, and 10 commandments to make you better for 2 weeks. Are there some make it better people in your life? You know, I asked some folk that I work with, you know, who are some make it better people in your life? What kind of qualities do make it better people have that make you better? It's probably also good to ask yourself the question, who am I around that kind of brings out the worst in me, not the best in me? Well, you know, you can't get rid of all the people in your life that don't make it better and make it worse, but you can pack up your time with the kinds of people that make you better. And you can have a mentality that says, I want to make other people better. I want to be a make it better person. And if you have some of those people in your life, you ought to thank them. You ought to let them know. And you ought to thank God for them. Be a make it better person, Bridgeway. I tweeted sometime this summer around this topic and I said, wherever you go, whatever you do, whoever you meet, wherever you show up, whenever you show up, be sure to make it better. Make the world you live in a better place today. That was also my Friday text one Friday morning. And by the way, do you receive my Friday text? It's a free text. You get it every Friday right around 7 a.m. Wherever you are in the world, thousands of people get it. If you want to get it, just text the word INSPIRE to 97,000. One word, INSPIRE, INSPIRE, to 97,000. And Friday morning, you'll get that free inspirational text. I like to call it a textpiration. Now, as a point of reflection, there are a few areas that you may want to think about making better in your life. So allow me to give you some categories or areas as you're thinking about, you know what, this year, I'd like to make some things better. Here's one broad area, relationships. Relationships. work relationships, maybe it's friendships, maybe it's marriage or family relationships with siblings or parents or classmates in school, but your relationships. And of course, one of the most important relationships we know, the most important, is our relationship with Almighty God. So maybe this is the year you say, you know what, Pastor? I want to get baptized. I've not been baptized yet. I've trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior, but now I'm ready to make a public declaration of my faith going down into the water like Christ went down into the grave. Being cleansed and coming back up out of the water would be like me rising again. It doesn't save me, but it marks me, and it makes a public declaration of an internal faith that I have. How many of you have been baptized? Yeah, look at you. How many of you have been baptized? Well, believe it or not, next Sunday we have baptisms. It's going to be at our Owens Mills Reisterstown campus. The last baptism class opportunity is this coming Wednesday. It's online, so you can check out the website to get all the information. If you're saying, you know what, I feel you, Pastor. I want to actually get baptized, and you're telling me I can do it next week? You can do it next week. Just go on online, Bridgeway Community Church, okay? That's bridgeway.cc/events. Or download the Church Center app. It's an app. You just go to Church Center. It gives you all the details. But our relationship with God is so important. And it's not just baptism, a one-time event where you are marked to say, yes, I'm going to publicly declare my faith, but it's ongoing discipleship. And I love the fact that this coming Wednesday begins our next module of discipleship classes. We call it Wednesday Night Alive. And you can take, there are like five different choices you have, and then it goes for like 6 weeks, just for an hour every Wednesday, and it's online. Check it out again. It's Wednesday Night Alive. We even have elders' prayer. You may want to pray with the elders on Wednesday night. Again, go to the website. Because you can pick the different classes, you can go to prayer to be have the elders pray for you. I mean, there's so many different ways to be discipled and to grow in our church. Don't miss this opportunity, because if you're going to make it better, you got to be better. And some of you may not realize this, but we have small groups of what they call great conversations about sermons, great sermon conversations. Now, I don't know how great they are. Maybe it depends on the sermon. But every week they meet to talk about the meat and the scriptures of the sermon. That may be something you want to check out as well. Just go online. All that stuff is there. But we've talked about different categories of how to make it better. Relationships is one. But here's a second broad category, and I call it random encounters. Random encounters. This means because in the morning you've decided that, Lord, I want to make it better today. I want to be better, and I want to make it better today. Whatever encounter I have, will you just download your spirit to me at that time so I can make matters better and not make matters worse? A random encounter can happen on a plane, in a restroom line, at a sporting event, in a classroom, in the hallway, at a business meeting. Part of it is a posture and a mindset to say, today, I want to be a make it better person. And here's a third and final category I might suggest to you as you're thinking about this theme for the year. And it's not just relationships and random encounters, but real life matters. Real life matters. I mean, this is the personal stuff. Like maybe your mental health, your physical health, your sexuality, your character, your attitude, your addictions. The list could go on. Real life matters that only you know about. Maybe you take that to God and say, God, this is my it. This is my it. Make it better. This is my it. Choose your it. Let's focus even more on this for a second. It's a three-word theme. Make it better. What is your it? What do you think God is saying to you about? Here's like the one thing that maybe we can focus on together this year. Not a magical overnight miracle, but you know, Lord, I want to give this to you. And I want to ask you to help me make it better. What's your it? We all have some it we're dealing with, don't we? Is there anybody in this place that has to deal with it? Well, guess what? You can trust God with all of your it. and he'll make you better and help you make it better, because even God understands that it happens. Give it to God. Now, allow me to give you a couple of practical applications. Remember, I did a series last spring called Be Encouraged. It was dealing with the discouragement of the world, the things that I talked about earlier. Well, we took that series and we turned it into a small book, one that you can get today. It's called Be Encouraged, How to Encourage Yourself and Others in Discouraging Times. A small book that you can give away. It's only like 30 pages or whatever. Get this book. It's in the lobby today in both campuses. You can get it online at Amazon. And to be clear, it's really cheap. It's like less than 10 bucks. You can buy them, you can give them away. And for those who might even be concerned about it, just understand this one thing. I'm not getting a dime of profit. All the proceeds of this book go to Bridgeway Community Church, 100%. So don't let any of those kind of barriers stop you. Get as many as possible, because we need to be encouraged. And I believe that this will be an encouragement to you. You may remember the first chapter and the first message I gave is being your own CEO, Chief Encouragement Officer. Make sure you grab this today. Here's a second application that might help you. Not only get the Be Encouraged book, but get centered. Let me go a little bit further so I can help you understand. In order to be a make it better person, you've got to be centered. There's a small book that I read many years ago on juggling, believe it or not. I don't know how I got it. I'm not a juggler, don't want to be one, but evidently it was a leadership book that someone gave to a small group of us, so we read it. It was like 20, 30 years ago. It was by a guy named Dan Gelb, and the title of the book was More Balls Than Hands. And I began to read through that book, and the one thing I learned from this guy who was a juggler on leadership is he said, you know, as you're sending the ball up and looking at the next one and sending it up and letting it go, he goes, the key to being a good juggler is to be centered. It's all about being centered. And he says, if you're going to succeed in life, you've got to be centered, because all these plates are spinning in the air and they can drop at any time if you're not centered. And I thought to myself, that is so true. Even in my own life, if I'm off center at home with Amber or with the kids or with my finances or something of conflict at the church or whatever it is, if I'm not centered, if I'm anxious, guess what? All these plates can go spinning. Has anybody ever been in that situation? You're just not in the right headspace. You're not in the right emotional space. You're not centered spiritually, and everything else seems to be wobbling around. And so I would say, as a practical application, get centered. And if you'll allow me for the rest of my time to take you to a scripture that I think is going to help you with this, I want to take you to this passage of scripture that I believe empowers all of what we've been talking about today regarding being centered. And the key verse, the one that's on the bracelet you're going to get as well, will give you the strength and the power and the groundedness to make it better wherever you go. And this passage is found in the middle of the Bible. In the middle of the Bible. Does anybody know the middle book of the Bible? It's the book of Psalms. That's right. And in the middle of the Bible, we find a middle chapter. You know what the central most midpoint chapter of the Bible is? It's Psalm 118. Psalm 118. And check this out. There are 594 chapters before Psalm 118. And there are 594 chapters after Psalm 118. So the central most chapter in the Bible is Psalm 118. So if I wanted to sort of hit the middle of the target, Psalm 118 would be it. But check this out. 594 plus 594 equal 1188. So if I go to Psalm 118, verse 8, then I not only get to the central most chapter of the Bible, but I get to the central most verse. The midpoint verse in the middle of the target is Psalm 118:8, which is on our bracelet. Guess what it says? It says it is better to trust the Lord than to place your confidence in man. It is better to trust in God than to put your confidence in man. Like, if there's a centermost verse in all of the scripture, wouldn't you want to know what it says? And if you wanted to hit the target right in the bullseye, Psalm 118:8 says, it is better to trust God than to put your confidence in man. And check this out. What do you think is the shortest chapter in all of the Bible? Psalm 117. And what do you think is the longest chapter in all of the Bible? Psalm 119. So the central most message of all the scripture, God puts it in Psalm 118, right in between the shortest chapter of the Bible and the longest chapter of the Bible. I just kind of think God's cool like that. I mean, just think about that. And what God is saying, it's better to trust in me than to put your confidence in man. And then in the next verse, it's better to trust in me than to put your confidence in princes, kings, queens, politicians, presidents, prime ministers. Put your confidence in God. Put your trust in God. Now, you'll have to read this chapter on your own. And when you read this chapter on your own, it's going to blow you away because this is one of those chapters that's full of controversy. I mean, there's adversity in that context, anguish. Anger. I mean, this psalmist was under attack. This dude was hurting. At one point in verse 25, he just says, Lord, oh Lord, save us. Save us. It was bad. In verse 5, he says, in my anguish, I cried out to the Lord. In verse 11, he says, they surrounded me on every side. In verse 12, they swarmed around me like bees. In verse 13, I was pushed back and about to fall. You ever been back on your heels? And in the midst of this, David has said, it's better to trust in God. Put my confidence in man. But when you read the broader passage, then you begin to understand what he's trying to say. When he says, oh, Lord, save us. How is it that in the midst of your anguish, in the midst of your anger, in the midst of your adversity, can you have trust in the Lord? Well, let me give you four ways to activate your trust in the Lord right from this passage. Four ways to activate your trust in the Lord right from this passage. You can go back and look at it. Number one, security. Trusting God with your security. When you are feeling insecure, it gets you off center, doesn't it? But when you're secure in God, it gets you centered. So one of the things that you and I have to do if we're going to make it better out there is to make it better in here and to realize that our insecurity will mess up our equilibrium. Now, how do I get to the word security? Because there are three pieces within this Psalm 118 that have a trilogy of words. That means three words that are repeated back to back to back. And God doesn't give you three words, a trilogy of words, unless he's trying to make an emphasis. And so in the first couple of verses, in verse 2 and 3, what the writer says is the love of the Lord, the love of the Lord, the love of the Lord, three times. See, the love of the Lord, when you know you're loved of God, his love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. When you know that you are loved for God, by God, guess what? You feel secure. That's where security comes from. That's why it says, husbands, love your wives, because when you create an environment of security and love, she feels safe. But what happens when you don't feel safe? You begin to feel insecure. And when you feel insecure, you start acting out, because insecurity means fear. And yet, 1 John 4:18 says that perfect love casts out all fear. It also says in verse 14 that God is love. So if God is love and he's our perfect love, he creates an environment of love and it casts out all fear. I'm not afraid. I'm not anxious because he's created an environment of love. When you are safely in perfect love, you feel secure and your security is in the Lord. So if you want to activate your trust, it's better to trust in God than to put your confidence in man. Man will make you feel insecure. God will make you feel secure because God is love. And when you find your security in the Lord, then you can activate your trust in the midst of all the anguish around you. But I said there are four ways. Here's the second way. Not only your security, but you activate your faith in the Lord with your authority. Remember I said there are three words that were written three times? Well, the first set, if you will, first trilogy was the love, the love, the love. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. Here's the second one. You'll find it in verses 10, 11, and 12. Three times he says, the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord. My enemies were cut off by the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord. In other words, when you're in the name of the Lord, you have authority. And there are a lot of believers who are believers, but they don't walk in the authority that they have in the name of Jesus. Do you know you have authority in the name of Jesus? Demons shudder at the name of Jesus. When you are submitted to Jesus and you walk under his authority, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. Gates don't move. You move in authority and walk wherever God says to walk. And when you do that, gates will open because they can't stop you. That's authority. A lot of believers don't trust God and walk by faith in the authority that God has given them. And this is important because oftentimes we have the authority to do whatever God calls us to do, but because we're not using and relying on the name of Jesus, we allow that authority to go to the wayside. If you're going to activate your trust in God and not put your confidence in man, then you've got to walk in the authority of the name of Jesus. But there's a third area. Remember I said there are three trilogies, right? So we say the love of the Lord, security. The name of the Lord, authority. But here's the other word mentioned three times, and you'll see it in verses 14 and 15. It says the hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord, the right hand of the Lord, cut them off. The right hand of the Lord was up high. The hand of the Lord, the hand of the Lord, the hand of the Lord, which is your victory. If you're going to make it better in the world, you got to make it better here by activating your trust in God, in your security, in your authority, and in your victory. When you actually believe that you have victory in the Lord, that victory God has already given you, even though he's like, I'm pushed back on my heels, but guess what? I know in the end, I'm going to have the victory. I don't know, even if I fall, I'm going to have the victory. I'm going to fight from victory, not for victory, because I realize that I can't fight my own battles. The battle's not mine. The battle is the Lord's. And when his right hand shows up, then I know he'll catch me if I fall because he got a big right hand. Anybody glad that God has a big right hand? That no matter how far back you fall, he can catch you and he can pick you up. If you don't believe me, ask Peter. God said, walk on water. He tried it for a little bit and he took his eyes off and he began to fall. Do you know God can catch you even when you fall? It's better to step out in faith and trust the word of the Lord and the name of the Lord to never get out of the boat and feel the sensation of what it means to walk by faith. And if you do fall, the righteous right hand of Almighty God will pick you up. And so how do we activate our trust in God? Well, first, our security. Second, our authority. Third, our victory. I said there are four ways to activate your trust in God. And here's the fourth one. It says in the very first verse and the very last verse, the words forever. And it says also his love endures forever, forever, forever. Five times the word forever is mentioned. And this is what I want you to see. This world is not the only world there is. We serve God in this world with an eye, not only on this world, but an eye on eternity. I trust in the Lord because I know my security's in Him, my authority's in Him, my victory's in Him, and my eternity is in Him. This won't always be anguish in the world. It won't always be a climate of hate in the world. I will make it better while I'm here, but when I know it's true in my heart and in my mind is that this world is not all there is. And so the decisions I make are eternal decisions because I realize that eternity is mine, that God sets eternity in the hearts of men, as Ecclesiastes says. And so he opens the passage, his love endures how long? Forever. And he closes the passage with the word forever. Why? Because God's from eternity to eternity. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. And so, friends, the centermost point of all the Bible, we get Psalm 118, 8, which says, it is better to trust God than to put your confidence in man. Now let's go out there and make it better. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.